Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Catherine Corbett, owner of Lighthouse Books in Brighton. You operate in a small town, Catherine, and have many loyal customers, but do they all live locally?
No, as a matter of fact, we have people that come from various places scattered about. Most, of course, do live locally, but some visit with us seasonally because they have cottages or camps in the area, and then they make a point of coming into the store when they're there. Also, sometimes we'll have people who are visiting family. They come back to the area for visiting family and make a point of coming into our store. And then, of course, downtown Brighton is also a tourist spot, and we're often finding people from far-flung places around the world or across the province or the country that find their way into the store.
Yeah, I can understand that, because it doesn't matter where I travel, I end up in a bookstore.
I'm the same way, yes.
And the other thing I'm curious about is I know a number of writer friends of mine who purposely will travel to support an independent bookstore over the box.
Yes.
Stores. Do you find that?
I do find that, and I feel that there is a growing awareness of this desire to support and maintain independent bookstores, and an understanding that if you want to see an independent bookstore on your main street, you need to go in and support that store. So I do find that people are beginning to think about that more, about the consequences of us shopping away from our communities, shopping in large chain stores, and that the other positive side of that is that you can indeed support something that is a local business.
Yeah. So how do you attract customers, especially from a wider area?
Well, we try to use a few different methods. We have a Facebook page and presence, and we do find that that reaches out to many people. I also try to attend events that are wider than the Brighton area. So, for instance, in February, I was in Belleville when Colonel Hadfield, the astronaut, was there, and we were the booksellers for that event. Also, recently in Colburn, there was a home and garden show, and I set up a table at that spot just to remind people of our presence, and always we'll put up a sign to remind people to visit us if they happen to come by Brighton.
So to remind our listeners, why should we all support local merchants? Tell us about the advantages of shopping in an independent bookstore versus a box store.
Well, I think one of the things that I've touched on already, that all of us love to wander in the downtown of our community and see thriving businesses as we walk along. But of course, those businesses can't thrive if people aren't going to go in and put some of their money there. So I think that is one thing, just in the energy and the health of our downtowns, that the businesses that are there need to be supported. I think people are probably aware, or hopefully would be thinking of the fact that when there are community events and donations and support are required, it is usually the local merchants that back those kinds of things up. So community events that are going on are things that we are present at. Also, we support our local authors, and people would know that if they're coming into our store, they can expect to see books that are by local authors and of local interest.
And do you have any special events planned for 2018?
Well, we are just having finished a very large event for our store on April 28th, Canadian Independent Bookstore Day, which used to be known as Authors for Indies, is a day when authors come and support the store, and it's a day that we generally celebrate independent bookstores in general. So that was a big day for us. On May 24th, we're having a book launch for a local author, Mark Seguin, who has written a book called For Want of a Lighthouse, but more recently he has a book called The Cruise of the Breeze, and it's about British soldier who was here at the end of the 1800s and on his time took a cruise around Lake Ontario, documented that cruise with lovely sketches. He was a very artistic man, and with journals. And I think very interesting for people that have a local history as part of a passion. As well, coming up, there will be Art on Main in Brighton, and we will take part in that, and then potentially some book launches of authors from the local area, too.
Wonderful. Well, I think it's time for readings again. What are you going to read to us this time?
This time, I've brought a a book that's called Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. It's by Gail Honeyman. This is an interesting novel. It's a story about a woman that you might call a social misfit, and in some ways that's the source of some humor in the book, but also it's a poignant book as she deals with life around her. On the inside flap it says, "Meet Eleanor Oliphant. She struggles with appropriate social skills and tends to say exactly what she's thinking. Nothing is missing in her carefully timetabled life of avoiding unnecessary human contact, where her weekends are punctuated by frozen pizza, vodka, and phone chats with mummy." Now, of course, we wouldn't have a story if we didn't have disruption in people's lives, and in Eleanor's case, that disruption comes in the form of a crush that she forms quite quickly on a musician that she happened to see when she was reluctantly out at a concert with co-workers. In the interest of pursuing this musician, she determines that she needs to purchase a computer, and this upcoming excerpt describes her computer purchasing experience at the local department store. "There was a young man with a gray shirt and a shiny tie staring at the banks of giant TV screens. I approached and informed him that I wished to purchase a computer. He looked scared. "Desktop, laptop, tablet," he intoned. I had no idea what he was talking about. "I haven't bought a computer before, Liam," I explained, reading his name badge. "I'm a very inexperienced technology consumer." He pulled at the collar of his shirt as though trying to free his enormous Adam's apple from its constraints. He had the look of a gazelle or an impala, one of those boring beige animals with large round eyes on the side of its face, the kind of animal that always gets eaten by a leopard in the end. This was a rocky start. "What will you be using your computer for?" he asked, not making eye contact. "That's absolutely none of your business," I said, most offended. He looked like he might cry, and I felt bad. He was only young. I touched his arm, even though I hate touching. "I'm afraid I'm a bit anxious because it is absolutely imperative that I'm able to go online this weekend," I explained. His nervous expression remained in place. "Liam," I said slowly, "I simply need to purchase some sort of computer equipment that I can use in the comfort of my own home in order to conduct some internet-based research. I may in time send out electronic messages from it. That is all. Do you have something suitable in stock?" The boy stared heavenward and thought deeply. A laptop with mobile internet access? Why was he asking me, for goodness sake? I nodded and I handed over my debit card. When I got home, slightly giddy at how much money I spent, I realized I had nothing to eat. Friday was supposed to be margarita pizza day, and of course, my routine was, for the first time ever, somewhat out of kilter. I recalled that I had a flyer in the tea towel drawer, something that was put through my letterbox a while ago. I found it easily, and I smoothed it out. There were money-off coupons along the bottom, which had expired. I guessed the prices would have gone up for this pizza, but I assumed that the phone number had stayed the same, and they presumably still sold pizzas. Even though the old prices were ridiculous, I actually laughed out loud at them. I decided that I would go for it. Yes, it was an extravagant and indulgent thing, but why not? Life should be about trying new things, exploring boundaries, I reminded myself. I would order a pizza. Well, the man on the other end of the line told me that the pizza would arrive in 15 minutes. I brushed my hair, took off my slippers in preparation, and put my work shoes back on. I wondered how they would manage with the black pepper. Would the man bring the pepper shaker with him? Would he shake on the pepper as he stood on the doorstep? Well, I put on the kettle in case he wanted a cup of tea, that delivery man. They had told me on the phone how much it would cost, and I took out the money. I put it in an envelope and wrote Pizza Pronto on the front. I didn't bother with the address. I wondered whether it was a done thing to tip, and I wished I had someone to ask. The flaw with the pizza plan was the wine. They didn't deliver wine, and the man on the phone said he actually sounded quite amused. Strange. What could be more normal than pizza and wine? I couldn't see how I was going to acquire something to drink in time to have with this delivered pizza. I really needed something to drink, and I worried over it as I waited. In the end, the pizza experience was extremely disappointing. The man simply thrust a big box into my hand and took the envelope, which he rudely ripped open right in front of me. I heard him mutter some swear words under his breath as he counted my coins. I had been collecting 50 pence pieces in a little ceramic dish, and this had seemed the perfect opportunity to use them up. I'd popped an extra one in for him, but I received no thanks for it. How rude. The pizza was excessively greasy, and the dough was flabby and tasteless. I decided immediately that I would never eat delivered pizza again, and definitely not without my musician. If we ever found ourselves in need of pizza, and we were too far away from the restaurant, one of two things would happen. We would take a black cab into town and dine at a lovely Italian restaurant. Or he would make pizza for us both from scratch, and mix the dough and stretch and knead it with those long tapered fingers. He'd stand at the cooker, simmering tomatoes with fresh herbs, reducing them into a rich sauce, slick and slippery with a sheen of olive oil.
Oh, delightful. Oh, and I love all the references to gazelles and things, because her name is Oliphant.
Right? Yes, yes. There are quite Oliphant. A few little small, warm smiles within the book.
Yeah.
Although I should warn readers that it does have a storm brewing, and this poor person who is struggling with fitting in with the world around her does find life gets more and more difficult as she goes along.
Well, as you said, there's no story if
those
right. things don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many thanks, Catherine, for joining us today. We've been speaking with Catherine Corbett, who's been telling us about Lighthouse Books. So let's remind listeners where exactly Lighthouse Books is and any other contact information, like your Facebook page and so on.
Certainly. Lighthouse Books is right on Main Street in Brighton. We're across from the lovely Memorial Park. So we're at 65 Main Street in Brighton. We do have a Facebook presence, and we are facebook.com Lighthouse Books Brighton. You need to put on there. Apparently there's a Lighthouse Books as well in the Atlantic provinces that we sometimes are confused with. But if you put Brighton in that search, you'll find us. And be watching for us, as well as sometimes we are out in the community at events.
And when are you open?
We are open on this time of year, Tuesdays to Saturday, from 9:30 in the morning until 5:30. In the summer and at Christmas time, we also open up on Mondays so that we have more time when people can find their way in.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to connect with us listeners, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our past programs archived and available to you to listen to anywhere and anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.